The second is that Paul's new identity reflected a new life in Christ Jesus. After his conversion on the road, he was a new man with a new heart. The old man Saul, with his persecution of Christians, was a thing of the past. Paul knew that this new man with a new heart required a new name. And we have been given a new name too, haven't we? The wonderful thing about this is that Paul would tell a story over and over and over again, and how God's mercy restored his life that he had given him. And he now was giving Paul hope. Like I said, Paul never forgot the harm he did to so many people. God was always there showing his love and mercy. And all Paul could do was talk about God's greatness in saving him, the mercy he had on him, forgiving him of what he had done, and giving him a new life. We read over in 1 Timothy 1:12, just one of his confessions. And he says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work." We are called out, like Paul. We have a mission. God has called us as his disciples not to just stay here in this nice, warm, cozy sanctuary, but we have a job to go out to the world. And our pastor is showing us that we need to step out in faith, just like Paul did, and go and do, because the world needs it. The world needs it. And us as Christians should be the theological scholars in our own household. Are you? Good question. Going on, Paul says, "I considered me trustworthy and appointed." He considered me trustworthy, and he appointed me to serve him, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ. In my innocence, I persecuted his people. You see, Paul thought he was doing good in the name of God. But God, in all of his mercy on me, because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that comes from Christ Jesus. And this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone, all those who he's speaking to, should accept it, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And I am the worst of them all. God had mercy on me so that Jesus Christ could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. All honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He alone is God. Amen. Paul's story shows that God chooses to use whomever he will. If we just take a moment and look within ourselves, God has chosen you, each one of you, to be his disciple. Like Paul, God wants us to tell our story of conversion to others. And granted, Paul was not afraid to tell, even if it meant facing his own persecution or death, which he often did. We are all disciples of Christ. Our reward is secured, isn't it? So why should we worry about death? It will happen to all of us at one time. Time goes by way too fast. I want to tell you a story. It's called All the Difference in the World. There was this guy who every Sunday morning would take a light jog around a park near his home. There's a lake located in one corner of the park, and each time he jogged around this lake, he would see this same elderly woman sitting at the water's edge with a small metal cage sitting beside her. Then this one Sunday morning, his curiosity got the best of him, so he stopped and he walked over to her. And as he got closer, he realized that the metal cage was in fact a small trap. There were three turtles, unharmed, slowly walking around the base of the trap, and she had a fourth turtle in her lap that she was carefully scrubbing with a spongy brush. "Hello," he said. "I see you here every Sunday morning, and if you don't mind my nosiness, I'd love to know what you're doing with these turtles." And she smiled. "I'm cleaning off their shells. Anything on a turtle's shell, like algae or scum, reduces the turtle's ability to absorb heat and impedes its ability to swim. It can also corrode and weaken the shell over time." Jogger says, "Well, wow, that's really nice of you." And she goes on to say, "I spend a couple of hours every Sunday morning relaxing by this lake and helping these little guys out. It's my own strange way of making a difference. But don't most freshwater turtles live their whole lives with algae and scum hanging from their shells?" he asked. "Yeah, sadly they do," she replied. And so he scratched his head. "Well then, don't you think your time could be better spent? I think your efforts are all kind and all, but there are freshwater turtles living in lakes all around the world, and 99% of these turtles don't have kind people like you to help them clean off their shells. So in no defense, how exactly are your localized efforts here truly making a difference?" The woman giggled. She then looked down at the turtle in her lap and scrubbed off the last piece of algae from its shell and said, "Sweetie, if this little guy could talk, he'd tell you I just made all the difference in the world." God has taken you out of the dark, murky waters and cleaned you up. He has given you a new life. He's given you a new name. And like Paul, God has chosen you as his disciple to go and tell those around you how good God is. We were once that dirty turtle, but we didn't know it. We just lived our lives in that dark, murky water. But God pulled us up out of it, cleaned us up, and he put us back into it, all clean, all new, a new name. And like Paul, in verse 20, immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogue. You see, Paul didn't wait. He went to everyone he could to tell them that Jesus is the Son of God. He knew now who Jesus was. And all who heard him were astounded and said, "This isn't the same man in Jerusalem who was causing havoc for those who called on his name and came here for the purpose of taking them as prisoners to the chief priest." But Saul grew stronger and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. See, they couldn't respond to what Paul was saying. They didn't know how to respond to what Paul was saying. They had no answer. And these are scholars, people who knew the Bible. But the difference is, Paul knew Jesus. And he wasn't afraid to talk to anyone about Jesus and let them know how wonderful Jesus Christ is. You know, whatever opportunity, whatever situation we are in, we always have an opportunity to spread good news. God came into your life and changed you, right? Is there anything better than that? I know the world tells us there is big home, BMW, Mercedes, what you choose. That's what's good news. That makes you important in this society. Maybe you've got all these degrees behind your name. That makes you important. No, it doesn't. Because God took the low, the uneducated, and He taught them. They are the ones that are going into the world. And God's church grows and grows because God is the one who made everything good and will restore everything back to its original nature. Everything good. And we, like Paul, are participants in that. We have a job to do. We are servants of our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. We should never be afraid to give God Himself the glory through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, which gives us that strength to do it. You see, I think for those 3 days that Paul was blind, couldn't eat, was a broken man, he had time to spend, a lot of time to spend in prayer. And like Jesus Christ, when He went into the wilderness, the Holy Spirit was there and stood by Him. Jesus was there with Paul the whole time, talking to him and letting him know what he would be doing, teaching him about who he was. Paul wasn't afraid to boast about himself because in it he was giving all the glory back to God. So as I thought about thanking God for taking me from where I was to where I am, that's not bad because Paul boasted. Paul wasn't afraid to boast about himself. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and the Father of Jesus Christ, blessed be He forever." And you know, we should not be afraid to talk about where we came from, where what our life was like and where we are now. Because so many people need to hear that. Because they're probably in the same place that you were. And they're looking for answers. And the only answer that we should give them is Jesus Christ, right? That is their hope. That is their salvation. Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 11, you know, are they servants of Christ? And I'm out of my mind to talk like this. And I am more, I've worked so much harder. I've been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 slashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. And once I was pelted with stones. See, Paul wasn't afraid to talk about it. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I had been constantly on the move. He had to run because he was always in danger. People were after him to kill him. He said, I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles. You name it. In danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I know what hunger is and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else I face daily, the pressure of my concerns for all the churches. And so Paul, despite what he was going through, he was more concerned about his brothers and sisters. And we should be too. We should be concerned about our brothers and sisters and want to pray with them. And if we're in need, we shouldn't be afraid to talk about it. Aren't we here to support each other, to help each other? Paul says to the Corinthians, I've been faithful even though it has been difficult. We have our struggles in life. And these are some of the marks of a true apostle. We have our own scars in our life. And they are our marks as a true apostle, a true follower of Jesus Christ. This world, more than anything else, needs to hear good news. And we are here to bring that. Those scars, it will give us value so we can live our lives by giving all the glory back to Jesus Christ, like Paul did. Our hope is in Christ. Paul said in Colossians, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is continually bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's wonderful grace. God's good news will go out to all the world, with or without us. But we know it, and God has commissioned us to do that. And God says, I will never abandon you. Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us through the Holy Spirit. He is going to give us the strength when we don't know what to say, when we don't know what to do. There is joy and excitement in our conversion. You remember the day that you were baptized, you gave yourself to the Lord. Or I should say, Christ brought you to Him. It was joy and excitement, wasn't it? People celebrated your baptism. This is the good news. All the world will be made new, and Christ has set us the example by being the firstborn. That is who we are in Christ. Our identity is in Him, and that is our purpose for worship. It is the love for God that compels us to proclaim this good news and what God did for us. Peter tells us that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's special possession. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. We are God's special possession that we may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. This is the whole point of God's saving purpose in Christ for us in the world, that we might worship Him and proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ. This is God's plan, that both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news will share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are the same part of the body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ. We're all one body here. We're all one body. You know, it's not about race, color, culture. And the wonderful thing is that we can enjoy being with each other because of what Christ has done in us. That is truly the good news and the blessing. And we only have our Lord and Savior to thank for that, don't we? That we are bound up in Him. Paul says, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading this good news. And Paul goes on to tell the brethren that also they have the privilege of serving Jesus by spreading this good news too. You are disciples. You are followers of Jesus Christ. And you should know Jesus and be able to share that in your neighborhood, your family, your friends, your children, your mother and father. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3. I feel like I should read that again. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This is his eternal plan. And it should fill us with joy and excitement, like it did Paul, where he wasn't afraid to go back to Jerusalem 3 years later. It took him 3 years to get back to Jerusalem after being at Damascus. And when he got back there, they still didn't like what he had to say. But you know, I think about Stephen and his death. And if Stephen were alive today, he probably wouldn't regret giving up his life for God to save Paul. Because out of it and through it, God's church kept growing and growing and growing. His church may have dispersed and left Jerusalem, was in all parts of the world, but that's what God intended, wasn't it? For his good news, his message to go out to all the world, for all the world to hear it and to know who Christ is and who we are in Christ. I want to read an excerpt that Greg Williams wrote as a tribute to Eugene Peterson, who died last year in October. Many of us know Eugene Peterson. He did the translation, the Message, the Bible. And it was his passion as a young man to be a professor, a teacher. He wanted to teach, but he didn't get placed there. He was placed over in Bel Air, Maryland, if you remember, where he first started. He started in Maryland as a pastor. And that was his early practice in teaching and spreading the word of Jesus Christ. And even though that wasn't where he wanted to go, before he left, he didn't want to leave because he loved the people that much. He enjoyed being a pastor. But Eugene Peterson left us a legacy with a lot of books that he had written, a lot of very good books. And Greg Williams said, "Scripture has everything to do with the neighborhood. Pastoral ministry, and I want to add discipleship, must navigate out from the private study, out from the sanctuary, and into the streets of the neighborhood. The Bible clearly communicates human nature and all its pitfalls. It communicates a broken world in need of deliverance, and ultimately it communicates about the Savior who is uniquely drawing all humanity unto himself and is in the process of redeeming all that is broken. This is a story that rings true for all peoples in all places at all times, and it needs to be proclaimed to all neighborhoods." That is our job. That is our responsibility as disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.